Welcome to Jury Duty. I'm your host, Chris Terracone. Season 8 of Jury Duty explores the trial of Alex Murdoch, a member of one of the most powerful families in South Carolina, who is accused of murdering his son Paul and his wife Maggie, with the purpose of covering up a multitude of alleged crimes, including fraud and homicide. In our last episode, we began our look at the testimony of forensic pathologist Dr. Ellen Reamer. In this installment, we continue our review of Ms. Reamer's testimony. That's all coming up right after the break.
Burrow's furniture is built for the way you live. From ensuring easy assembly and disassembly to honoring highly requested new colors for their award-winning seating, they always have their customers in mind. Their modular seating is made out of durable materials to last and grow with you. And with Burrow, you always get fast, free shipping. Get up to 60% off during Burrow's Memorial Day sale at burrow.com/ACAST. That's burrow.com/ACAST. burrow.com/ACAST.
It is the late afternoon of February 13th, 2023, day 14 of the trial of Alex Murdoch. As we concluded our last episode, Creighton Waters had presented Dr. Ellen Reamer with autopsy photos of Paul Murdoch, and under the prosecutor's questioning, the witness identified gunshot wounds suffered by the victim. As we begin this installment, prosecutor Creighton Waters continues his direct examination by displaying another autopsy photo of Paul's body for the jury and Ms. Reamer. Throughout this testimony, Reamer describes multiple extremely graphic images, which are under seal and not visible to the public. During her description, Alex Murdoch often appears to weep and shake his head.
All right, let me move on to the next exhibit. I'm going to put it up on the screen now, States 481. Tell me what this image
Okay. So this is a photograph of the same wadding, but I'm taking it from a different angle. Okay. So he's lying on an autopsy table, and I've moved his arm up to show the relationship of this wadding with the entrance pellet wounds on the underside, the underside of the left arm. And interestingly enough, a lot of times pellets just go through the skin, but here we have some abrasions around the skin, and it actually corresponds to abrasions. We normally don't have abrasions with an exit wound, such as we have here, but the fact that we have abrasions on the underside of the left side of the chest corresponding to the inside of the arm indicates that his arm was down at the time of this injury.
So let me ask you about that. In your expert opinion, having done 5,500 autopsies, is there any way that Paul's hands were up when he suffered that shotgun wound to the chest that you've been talking about?
No. The autopsy answers that question, that his arm was down by his side at the time he sustained this injury.
And again, highlight the specific features that you observed that caused you to come to that expert opinion.
So if, let's just say hypothetically, if his arm was up, you see all of these abrasions around this exit defect and the abrasions around these pellet entrances. We wouldn't see that because they, those are caused by when these pellets and the wadding is pressing up against the skin is very elastic. So this is just kind of logic. I think you're all going to get this. It's kind of going to push the skin before it actually exits. The skin's going to stretch a lot. And if it hits up against the other portion of the skin, we have kind of abrasions, which are kind of scrapes on the skin around where it exited as well as where it entered. So these are sometimes called it's a short exit wound. So the skin actually struck another area, and in fact it corresponds exactly. It's like a reflection. We can see this is reflected. This one is reflected over here. So if we can only get that kind of a mark if his arm is down. Now, this is the kind of thing that it's the logical conclusion, and I'm confident that that was the position of his arm at the time he was shot. And this is based on my training and more than 20 years of experience doing these cases.
All right. Let me look at the next exhibit, which will be 482 for the record. Tell us what you see here, and also, if you could, how that also supports the conclusions you were just talking about to
yes.
the jury.
Okay, so these are the exit pellet wounds on the outside of the arm in this area, right? So this is kind of like his armpit here. And we can see these are kind of just, these pellet exit wounds don't have the kind of abrasions around it. This is just kind of finding its way through the skin. And then this one is over here. So, and if the further the pellets travel, it kind of splays out. So after the pellets leave the wadding that is open, they're spread. So, but these are, exit pellet wounds, and we don't have the kind of abrasions to suggest that his arm was pressed up against anything at the time that those pellets exited.
One other thing as well is when talking about his arm being down, of course, the wadding stopped in that wound still in his chest.
Right? Yes.
All right, Dr. Reamery, if I could get you maybe to stand that way just a little bit. I know we're in tight confines, and then we're trying to be as respectful as we can with these images. I'm going to show you now what's been marked as 483, states 484, states 485, 486, and 487.
Prosecutor Waters hands a few more photos to the witness.
And just quickly tell me if you recognize those, and then I want to go back to the board before we talk about those pictures.
Yes. I recognize these.
All right, and those autopsy photographs that you took of
yes.
Paul Murdoch?
These are photographs that I took at the autopsy of Paul Murdoch.
And would they assist you and explain to the jury the injuries that he suffered?
Yes.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com and get up to 15% off your first purchase as a member with code REBAGNEW. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAGNEW for up to 15% off your first purchase as a member.
Prosecutor Waters continues his direct examination of Dr. Reamer by asking her about other gunshot wounds to Paul Murdoch's body. As Dr. Reamer answers, she appears to make drawings on the human torso diagram that stands outside of the courtroom camera's field of view.
All right, Dr. Reamer, and we'll come back a little bit more to that first injury, but there was a second shotgun injury as well, is that correct?
Correct.
All right, and I'm going to go back to Stakes 500, which is the poster board, and if you could explain to and draw on this diagram that second injury, and then
okay.
We'll look at the picture.
So there was a large shotgun wound defect to the top of his left shoulder, and there were lots of pellets recovered in the left shoulder area, and from there, the it kind of just went across the top of the left shoulder and then went into the left side of the neck and face. Okay, and from there, his face actually was not destroyed from this, but there's a big exit wound on the top of the right side of the head. So this wound went from his left toward his right and upward and with a slight front to back deviation. Now, what does that tell us? We don't really know. It's kind of going toward, it's sparing his face, it's going behind the face. Now, one thing that makes sense to me, how could that happen? If he was just standing, not everybody gets shot like standing like these diagrams, right? But if he was shot and his face was forward, it would have taken off a lot of his face. However, if he is turned toward the shooter, then it's going to go into the face here and go out toward the right back of the head. So to me, it makes sense that his head is turned to the left. not necessarily completely, but partially turned to the left. And what happened here was an extremely severe, immediately fatal injury, because what it did was that after it went through the left side of the neck and face, our brain is basically held up through the skull. So we have bone at the top of the skull, but then we also have a bone that kind of holds up the brain. It went through the base of the skull, okay, which is kind of like this area, the brain that's up there. And this wound, actually, his brain was ejected out of the top of the right side of his head and actually arrived at the autopsy in a separate bucket. So the force of this wound actually pushed the brain out of his head. There was only just a small piece of brain remaining, and that's the brain stem that was attached to the spinal cord.
All right, and real quickly, going back to the first wound to the chest, if Paul was standing when he suffered that, could he have remained standing after suffering that wound?
Yes.
All right. The second wound, the one that starts in the shoulder and goes in here and then out the top of his head, what would have been the effect of that wound?
That would have been immediately fatal, and he would not have been standing. He would have just fallen to the ground.
All right, and would he have been capable at all of bracing his fall or anything like that with a catastrophic injury like that?
No, that's instantaneous death.
All right. Did you notice any abrasions on his face or anything like that?
Yes, he did have, and it's depicted in one of the photographs, he does have a kind of a scrape on his face, and very frequently scrapes on the face it has a slight directionality. It's consistent with a terminal collapse. So if he's hitting the ground with some movement, there's frequently kind of a linear pattern. And, you know, all of this really makes sense. Once you see these things, you can understand that if somebody's going to fall with, the force of their body, and they're going to hit their face on the ground, and we get some abrasions that correspond to that.
Creighton Waters takes the diagram that Dr. Reamer has been drawing on and holds it up briefly before the jury.
All right, and let me do this real quick. If you could grab that dowel stick for me, and I'm going to make sure the jurors down here have a chance to see what you've been drawing.
Okay.
So that's the shoulder right there, and then...
Yeah, I should have made a red mark here to be consistent. This is the exit wound on the right side of the body, and the brain came out of that exit.
You mentioned a little bit about inconsistent with Paul kind of having his head tilted to one side. If you could use the dowel stick, maybe use me as an example and show me kind of what you're talking about. You can position me however you want to.
Yeah, okay.
Let's go out here.
So we start with like a different idea, okay, in order to understand how that's the case. So if a shotgun wound is entering the top of the left shoulder, and let's say his head is turned like that, it's going to go right through the face, right? But if his head is turned like that, it's going to spare the face and be able to go behind the face. So if somebody's just standing looking straight ahead, this most likely would have done a lot of damage to his face. But the fact that the face is remained intact tells me that his head was... I don't know, up and down, but his head was facing in the direction from where the shotgun was being fired.
Okay. And then the injury to the shoulder would have been where if you just point with it?
Yes. So it's kind of on the top of the shoulder. This also did not injure his chest cavity. It kind of went through a lot of the skin and muscle and fat of the left shoulder. And there were a lot of pellets that were recovered from the left shoulder area as well as the head and neck.
Prosecutor Waters hands Dr. Reamer a small plastic bag.
And I'm going to show you very quickly what's been marked as stakes 110. And do you recognize this? I write Marty in evidence.
Yes, these are the pellets that I recovered from the left shoulder and head area.
All right, and I'm going to show you first what's been marked as stakes 483. And can you tell me what's on this particular image, particularly as to some of the things you were just describing as to the abrasion and things like that?
Yes. So we can see this is basically an abrasion. It's a fancy word for scrape. So there are scrapes on the right side of his face. And you can see they kind of have, you can kind of see that there's a little bit of linearity. So if he just felt completely flat, we might just get dots. But if there's some movement, we get, it's kind of, he's hitting the ground and then moving it a little bit as his face hits. So we get this kind of vertical direction. And this is a very typical type of injury to the face that somebody might suffer from a terminal collapse. So after they sustain a fatal injury, what are they going to do? They're going to fall to the ground. Now, depending on the surface of, you know, if it's concrete or, you know, grass, we might get some. But this is very typical of I don't know what kind of surface it was, but a terminal collapse.
All right. If you would, with this image, and this would be stage 484, please explain to the jury using this image some of the concepts that you've been describing to them.
So this is the top of his left shoulder, and this is the continuation of the ammunition through the left side of the lower face. And from there, it proceeded behind the face through the base of the skull and exited the right side of the top of the head and sort of toward the back of the right side of the top of the head.
And those two sort of together, they are, that's kind of what you're describing for when you had positioned my head in the manner of what you did.
Yeah, that's right. So my head turned to the left like that. I think that makes the most logical sense, and forensic pathology is really logical. So when we look at these things, we have to think, well, how could this have happened? And, after the, it's not always immediately obvious, but, you know, with some thought, we can come to these conclusions with confidence.
Turning now to stage 485. So it's just another perspective.
So this is the same injury. This is formed by a single piece of ammunition here that went through the top of the left shoulder. It tore it up. Right, and then went into the left side of his face and neck. And some of these pellets also did a lot of damage in the neck because they kind of splay out as they go further. And some of them went actually through his airway and other structures of the neck, as well as continuing through the base of the skull and propelling the majority of the brain out the right side of the back of the head. Okay.
And now going to the end of that particular wound, tell us what this image represents.
So, you know, you can kind of see, it looks like this piece of his head, we're not really seeing the entire thing because his forehead is basically still intact, but you can appreciate at this point that, the contours of his skull are disrupted. And that's because there's a defect at the top of the skull, but not involving the forehead, so it's kind of in the back. So we know it started at the shoulder, it's exiting in the back, so his head may have been like that, facing toward the left.
Finally, stage 487.
Okay, now this is, so this is...
It's hard for me to see what I'm doing.
It's okay. Yeah, so this is actually a photograph of the right side of, this is his, the face area, okay? And I know that because I usually, when I take a photograph of the number, I usually have it like right side off, okay? So this is the top of his head. And this is...
I apologize.
No,
that's
good.
Better.
Right. So now you can sort of see this is the right side of his head, and it's horrible, I know. And there's a big defect there. And we can see the inside of the skull, but his face was spared.
At this moment, Judge Clifton Newman announces a brief break. When he gavels the court back into session, Prosecutor Creighton Waters resumes his questioning of Dr. Reamer.
Dr. Reamer, before we took a break, we were obviously discussing the very catastrophic injuries from that second shotgun wound to Paul, and that would have been immediately fatal. Is that correct?
Yes.
Let me ask you this very quickly. Do you see any evidence of any defensive wounds on Paul?
No, I did not.
Can you describe quickly what a defensive wound is and then explain why you see none in this particular
instance? Yes. So a defensive wound is... sometimes somebody might sustain injuries that suggest that they had their hands or arms up while trying to defend themselves from what is about to happen. And I don't see anything on his hands that would indicate, you know, he had his hands up to his face in anticipation of the injury that was about to happen. So.
In your expert opinion, as you described to the jury before, his arm was down for that first shot.
Yes. So that first shot, his arm was down, and I don't see any evidence of injury to his hands from the second shot.
And then that abrasion on his face is consistent with that second shot and him just having terminal.
Right. Blast. So falling to the ground, hitting the right side of his face on the ground with a little bit of forward movement. So we got that kind of linearity. And that would be consistent with collapsing to the ground after it's very frequently people, you know, after sustaining any kinds of disabling injuries, if they're standing up, they're going to fall, just gravity. And so he fell, and he was face down at the time, so he had a scrape on the cheek, which is the surface of his body that impacted the ground.
What were toxicology results on Paul, if any? Anything that he might have had in his system?
Oh, yes. So every person that has an autopsy at MUSC, and everybody gets a full toxicology testing done. MUSC does not actually perform toxicology, but toxicology was sent to a toxicology lab that tests for any possible substances that may be in the blood. And the only thing he had in the blood at the time of his death was caffeine.
No alcohol or drugs.
No alcohol or drugs. It was negative.
Were you able to reach any conclusion about the order in which Paul suffered the shotgun blasts?
Okay. Well, in my opinion, based on my education and experience, the first shotgun wound, the initial shot was to the chest, following which he remained standing and sustained the other gunshot wound to the top of the left shoulder and head. If we think about it, well, is it possible that the other one was first? It just kind of defies logic, right? So if he got that one first on the left shoulder and through his head, we know that one sent him to the ground. So he fell to the ground, hit the right side of the face. How is he possibly going to get that one to the front of the chest? So it's just hard to imagine a scenario in which the shotgun wound to the head was first.
With that, we bring to a close this episode of Jury Duty, the trial of Alex Murdoch. Please join us on our next installment as we continue our review of the testimony of forensic pathologist Dr. Ellen Reamer. Also, check out the Ambie-nominated crime story podcast Night Raid, wherever you get your podcasts. And if you would like to listen to these episodes early and ad-free, head over to our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. quince.com/style.
You can find more information about this trial on our Jury Duty Crime Story Patreon page or at crimestory.com. Jury Duty is created and produced by Carrie Antholis. It was co-produced, written, and edited by yours truly, Chris Terracone. Music for this episode was provided by Strike Audio. Trial audio is courtesy of Law & Crime Networks. Thank you for joining us, and we hope you will come back for the next episode of Jury Duty.